Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Father.
You can have chocolate now. And if the ice cream shop was open, I'd be going out there at 9:30 in the morning. But this is a great day. And of course, obviously, this isn't about ice cream and having chocolate, right? It's about Jesus Christ and how he rose from the dead. And what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as Christians? And people who believe. It means it gives us hope. Now, we can't all always go through the Easter Triduum. The Easter Triduum is the Mass at Thursday night, Holy Thursday night, and then Good Friday, go to the services, and then the Easter Vigil. We can't always do that. We got to work. We got all these things we got to do. But if you ever get the chance to do that, I encourage you to do that, because you go through the experience of what the apostles, it's a reliving out of what the apostles experienced. And if we don't have a time when we experience that, our faith, we're not going to get it. It's going to go right over our head. We're not going to understand what our faith is all about and what it does for us. One of the things I always explain to parents in the RE program, you know, it's when we learn math, it teaches us how to balance a checkbook. When we go to our classes to learn English, it teaches us how to communicate. When we learn our faith, that's what gets us through life. That is what gets us through life. That's why our faith is so important for us. Now, I was kind of scandalized when I went to the colleges. You know, those people who are supposedly wise, those who are learned. Because they would give me a whole bunch of junk that was actually false when it came to faith. You know, a lot of parents complain, why aren't my children going to Mass anymore? That's why. Typically speaking, the children who go to college, within 2 weeks, they dump their faith. Why? Because they don't know. They haven't got a clue. And in our faith, there are things in our faith that words cannot communicate. You have to have the experience of that. It's kind of like, you know, that person who's famous. You love that person who's famous? Yeah, big deal, you know, like the teenagers. Oh, you got to know this person. I don't know who it is today. It always changes, but you got to know this person. You know them. No, I don't know. I don't get it. Big deal, right? Grandparents, yeah, okay, whatever. Big deal. Why? Because you haven't experienced it, right? Why are the kids so excited about it? Because they've experienced it. The same thing with Jesus Christ. If we haven't experienced Jesus Christ, big deal. What's the point? You see, in Jesus Christ is our salvation. Without him and without understanding that without him we can do absolutely nothing. Every breath we have comes from him. Now, some of these college PhD people who take advantage of us and our children or say, oh, the Bible? Oh, we know that's just not, that's nothing. We know that's just false stuff. Baloney. The Bible is the most reliable document or literary piece that we have in the world. This is the thing that they don't tell you. Do you know how many ancient manuscripts we have of the Bible? Thousands. Plural. Thousands of them. Do you know how many discrepancies there are, what they call discrepancies in the Bible? The entire Bible, of the thousands of them, 4 or 5 words are used differently. Holy smokes. I would say that's a very reliable source. The second closest literary piece of work, not just talking this is a piece of God's work, God's word. Putting that aside, 4 or 5 words out of the 1,000 documents of discrepancy? Whoa. The closest, second closest is Homer Iliad. They have 800 copies, ancient texts of those. 800 compared to the thousands, like 4,000? Whoa. Do you know how many discrepancies? It's about 80%. That's the second closest. That should raise some eyebrows with these atheist PhD people? How much can we take on them if they sit there and give it a thumbs down? I'm not giving a thumbs down to college or anything like that. But when it comes to them talking about the faith, they're not professionals in the faith. If they're non-believers, then don't bother listening to them. Don't even bother with it. When we look at the intricacies of Scripture, Tolkien, Lucas, whoever that woman was that wrote up the Harry Potter thing, I don't care for it, but can't even touch the Bible. Can't even touch the Bible. Not even close. Not even close. This is God's writings through millennia. Millennia, God brings about the truth. Where does it start? Yeah. First of all, Adam and Eve. But I want to point out to you Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, they were going to offer their sacrifices. What? One had the fruit of the earth. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For through your goodness we have received this bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. Right here, through millennia, God is writing his salvation. What does Abel offer, the one that's pleasing sacrifice? The blood of the lamb. The blood of the lamb. That it would become for us the blood of your servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. What started out as a battle between these two human beings, Cain and Abel, thinking there's a dichotomy between the two, now are put together in the Eucharist. God makes the sacrifice all in all. Let's go to the temple. In the temple, what happens at the temple? People pray? Yeah. But where is that place designed for? It is a place for the sacrifice. Right here in the Eucharist, we have the sacrifice of the Lamb. The once and for all Lamb that was provided by and mandated at the Exodus event when the people left Egypt. Put the blood of the doorposts on the lintels and the doorposts. Right? When we receive the precious blood, we put the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts and lintels of this body, this holy and sacred temple. God brings about that. In the Babylonian exile, they no longer had a temple, but the people built a synagogue. What is the place of the synagogue? It is where they rake open the scrolls and they read the word. You had the scrolls, you had the synagogues, and then you had the temple. You had the liturgy of the word, and then in the temple, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And Jesus Christ brings them both back together. Both forms of worship come together in Jesus Christ. Through millennia, God writes his message of salvation. And as people put that blood on the doorpost and lintel of those homes, the angel of death would pass over that house. And so when we receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, the angel of death will pass over this temple, this house. Lord, I am not worthy to receive, to have you enter under my roof, this temple. I'm not worthy to have you enter into my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. God enters into this house, and so the angel of death passes over. God saves us. Isaac is going to be sacrificed by Abraham. We read that last night at the Easter Vigil. Isaac's going to be sacrificed. What is he carrying with him? He is carrying the wood of his sacrifice up Mount Moriah. He is carrying his sacrifice. And what does Jesus do? Jesus carries the wood of his sacrifice up Golgotha, to Golgotha, the place of the skull. What does Abraham say to his son? God will supply the sacrifice. And he does. And before he makes the sacrifice of Abraham, years before, Lot, his cousin, the kings come and steal everything he has. So Abraham goes up against those three kings to war against them to get back what is rightfully Lot's property. And these three kings get this other king, the king of Salem. The king of Salem is, Salem means the city of peace. He is the king of the city of peace. They try to get him to put a curse on Abraham. But what does he do? He utters a blessing and prophesies. He's priest, prophet, and king. He utters a blessing. The three kings run. Paul talks about this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Years later, when David takes over that same city, Salem, he renames it Jerusalem, the new city of peace. And so where they build the temple is right on the very spot that Abraham offers Isaac. That's why they built it there. That is Mount Moriah. Salem is on Mount Moriah. And so when Jesus is crucified right outside the city, he is on Mount Moriah. And God supplies the sacrifice. You see the intricacies in the Bible. No way does any other writer come close to writing something like this. This is just the beginning of all this. Not only that, but reminding us of this candle, this Easter candle. What is it supposed to remind us of? It's the pillar of fire. As we were singing in the Exalted last night, the pillar of fire should remind us of the pillar of fire that led the people out of slavery from Egypt. Now, the funny thing is, these people were following this pillar of fire wherever it went. Wherever God goes, Lord God, wherever you go, I will go. I will follow you no matter what. The problem is, when we follow God, sometimes we look like an idiot. Sometimes we do. They look like an idiot too. In fact, they look so much like an idiot out there, the Pharaoh decided to change his mind to go after him again. These people are dumb. They don't know what they're doing. Look at them, they're wandering around in the desert. They don't even know what to do. Let's get our slaves back. But God uses that. Are we afraid in our own lives to follow Jesus, to follow his ways? I mean, how many times do we pray grace before meals and praise God that he's here? They followed him. And because they look like an idiot, their enemies were scoffed. Well, that's totally opposite of the way the world looks at things, isn't it? The way God would have us do is more wise than any human way of thinking. These Israelites knew they couldn't do it. When it comes to humanity, we constantly make mistakes in our lives. We constantly sin. We offend everybody. You know, open mouth, insert foot, chew on leather, right? You know what that means. The leather shoe, right? Don't say what you're not supposed to say. We end up doing that all the time. We beat ourselves on the head. But when Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, this is a reality. That is a historical fact. These professors, the world will patronize you and say, pat you on the back and say, oh, that's nice, that's cute. You can believe it wherever you're on. But now just get over it and let's get on with the real life. The funny thing about that is they want to watch TV, right? The people on TV, oh, get with the real life, we're it, right? Yet if our children are scared because of what they see on TV, what's the first thing we tell them? Oh, don't worry about it. That's not real. I mean, that's what we tell them, right? But we follow the TV as if it were the reality. How we've got it backwards. You know the place where Jesus Christ was born, the place where he died, the place where he rose? I got to see those places. Our faith is based on a reality, not on an opinion of what somebody thinks or somebody feels. If our faith is based on what we think or feel and not on a reality, where is our faith when we need it? When it comes to our faith hitting the pavement, where can it be? It can't be anywhere. Because it's based on something relative. It's based on something not substantial. But when we follow a faith based on Jesus Christ, on the fact that Jesus Christ has so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, God the Father sent his only begotten Son to love us. And that Jesus Christ crucified is a historical fact. And that's why we know. That's why I can tell you and not ask you to believe, but I can tell you definitively, God loves you. And I'm telling you, this is a fact. Whether you're suffering depression or no matter what you're going through in your life, God loves you. And he wants to embrace you. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is allow him to enter into our minds and our hearts. We have to pray. We have to spend time with him, just like anybody else. God is persons, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're going to have a relationship with anybody, you got to spend time with them. For all those who are married, if your spouse isn't with you and you never spend time with them, what happens to that relationship? If you never spend time, if you never tell your spouse that you love them, if you never tell your children that you love them, what happens? It slowly dies. This is why we come to worship God. This is why we get to worship God. Because when we give our love to God, God gives his love to us. And his love is so much greater than ours. He is so much more faithful than we are. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And he didn't just die for us, he rose so that we may rise. He died for us and with us. Where is God in our sufferings? He is with us in his sufferings. You are a holy and sacred temple of God. Everything you experience, God experiences. The least you have done unto my brethren, you have done it to me. It goes true with all those people who we do to things outside of us, but anybody who does things to me, God experiences. The suffering we experience, God is with us. And when you have an intimate relationship with somebody, do they abandon you in your suffering? No. They embrace you in the suffering. It is in the suffering that you find God. And he gives you consolation and peace. He gives you the strength to carry those crosses. This is the power of God. It is not a gospel of prosperity. It is not a gospel that tells us everything will be a bed of roses for you and during life. This is the desert. Our promised land is heaven. That's what we're made for. We're not made for this world. Money? You kidding me? The God of money is not very faithful. It always goes away. I don't know what your experience is, but it always goes away from me. It's not very faithful. Why should we be obedient, a servant to that kind of thing? Those in the fashion world, you wear the wrong clothes, my goodness, you're going to be ridiculed. But if you sin and offend God, you can go to confession. He'll have mercy on you. The things of this world are passing away, and they're not very faithful. We follow Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ crucified and risen. He died for us and with us. So that we can rise with him. He gives us the strength we need. We already die, so God came into the world so that he could die with us. so that being united with him, when he rises, we too will rise. And he gives us the strength to rise in this life, but particularly to lead us to the resurrection in life eternal. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't let the world drag you down. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the Easter joy that we have as Christians. And we're not ashamed of that great joyful news that Jesus Christ is truly risen. Alleluia.